Couldn't you pray? Couldn't you watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Okay, well, the theme of what I have to say this morning is that of dealing with disappointment. And maybe if you just think back just a few minutes to the reading that we've just had. Am I on? Yes? Thank you. If you think back to the reading we just had and think about the theme for this morning, dealing with disappointments, you'll see there, right through that passage, the fact that Jesus, even in his darkest hour, had to deal with disappointment. A little girl noticed that whenever the minister preached, he would kneel down and pray before he began. "Why does he do that?" she asked her mother. "He's praying that he will hear what God wants him to say, then preach a really good sermon, and that everybody would listen carefully." "Oh," mused the girl, "then why does God never answer his prayers?" She was obviously disappointed in the result of all the prayer that went into the preaching. I think I already know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Is there anyone here this morning who has never experienced disappointment? We can be disappointed in our relationships, in our children, in our employment, in our living conditions, in our present circumstances, whatever they may be. We can also be disappointed in ourselves. Often we can be disappointed in our prayer life. Jesus said, "I will do whatever you ask in my name." So based upon that promise, we might pray, "Lord, please make me handsome." "Lord, let me pass that exam." "Lord, help me pass my driving test." "Lord, give me a full head of hair." "Lord, I've always wanted to be a brain surgeon. Lord, can you make me a brain surgeon?" Disappointments can come in all areas of life. We've named some of them. This morning I'd like us to think especially about disappointments in our prayer life. I think we have to learn that some things are beyond our reach and are not going to happen just because we ask in the name of Jesus. Yes, the name of Jesus is powerful to help us to do and to bear and to change things and to build our faith. Boy, have I seen him in action in answer to prayer, and I'm sure many of you have too. Yes, he's come that we might have life in all its fullness. Yes, but it is our life that we're to live, not someone else's. Things are not going to happen just because we ask in the name of Jesus. We need to see that we are precious to God as we are. "Lord, I'm not the handsomest person on earth, but you love me. Lord, I know that I won't pass that exam if I don't do the necessary work, if I don't do the necessary study and revision. Lord, I do realize that to pass my driving test, I need to get some lessons. And Lord, how could I possibly be a brain surgeon when I've got a shaky hand? You know me, Lord. You know the plans that you have for me. Help me seek your way for me and to trust you. One of Jesus' favorite places to go in time of prayer was the Garden of Gethsemane. We can read that in Luke 22. Luke 22 tells us that he went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. John 18 tells us that Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. As his followers, let me suggest to you this morning, we need to find a place to pray. It's important for our prayer life that we find a place where we can go to pray. A place where we can be alone with God. That's a part of the model for prayer that Jesus gives us. He went into the wilderness. He went up a mountain. He went to the garden. Where is our place of quiet? They just recently shared in what was become known as the Last Supper, or in Baptist circles we would call the meal that we share, the Lord's Supper. And it was at that meal that Jesus had predicted that one of his followers would betray him. One of you who dips bread into the bowl with me. Imagine us in this place, at the table, sharing in the Lord's Supper together and being at odds with one another, carrying a grudge, looking for an opportunity to strike a blow against someone whom we see as the enemy. That would be awful, wouldn't it? And it wouldn't be right. Scripture teaches us that before we participate in the meal, expecting to receive the grace of God for ourselves, we must put things right with our brother or our sister. What a terrible disappointment that situation must have been for Jesus. Someone whom he had called, don't forget. He called Judas to be a follower of his. Someone whom he had trusted and taught about the need to love God and to love our neighbor was going to betray him. And then even more disappointment when he goes to the garden and he asks his disciples to sit and wait while he prayed. And he prays in anguish to his Father God that what he was about to experience might be taken away. Luke writes of his sweat being like drops of blood falling to the ground. Such was his stress in that situation. And on his return from prayer, what does he find? Those he trusted to watch out for him fast asleep. It didn't just happen once either. It happened three times. The situation with Judas was bad enough, but the other disciples were also disloyal in their lack of support and care for him, leaving him vulnerable to those who would do him harm. Jesus faces the cross. We hear his prayer. Father, everything is possible for you, whatever you ask in my name. Is there some kind of connection there, do you think? Father, everything is possible for you. In that prayer, we can see clearly the faith that Jesus has in his Father. Even when things seemed to be going so badly wrong, he didn't want to suffer, yet he is able to pray, not what I want, but what you want. He had absolute faith in God, and he trusted God's faithfulness toward him for the outcome of his situation. Let me tell you this morning, and make no mistake, God loves you and wants nothing but the best for you, and wants you to know this deep down inside for yourself. Your faith, his faithfulness. And when our faith is weak, never forget that ultimately, even if we lose our way, he is faithful. There are some amazing examples of answered prayer. Many times people have been miraculously protected. Many times powerful healing has taken place. Many times God has intervened on behalf of his people. But also many times our prayers appear to have been unanswered. How do we deal with that? How do you deal with the disappointment of that? We're looking for a particular answer, the answer we want, and it doesn't come. But maybe we do receive an answer and don't recognize it as such. The story, and I thought I'd introduce a rural story here, as we're in the Vale of Evesham. The story is told of a farmer who sat on his roof with floodwaters swirling around him. A neighbour in a rowing boat offered him help, which he declined, insisting, "God will protect me." A helicopter buzzed overhead, its rescue party lowering a rope and ordering through a loudspeaker, "Grab the rope and we'll pull you to safety." The farmer stubbornly shook his head. "No." Soon the water engulfed the barn and swept the farmer away. In heaven, he demanded an explanation from God. "I counted on you to protect me. Why didn't you answer my prayers?" God replied, "I sent you a rowing boat and a helicopter. What more did you want?" Part of being a Christian includes the need to deal with disappointment in prayer. It's about struggle and disappointment and God's provision despite what we may feel. We need to be careful what we pray. We need to listen to Jesus and to learn from him. Sometimes we may be tempted to pray like this: "Lord, please deal with that person who's causing me so much hassle." Have you ever felt like that? Yes, come on, let's have some honesty around. "Please, Lord, deal with that person, will you?" Thinking so much about ourselves that we don't care if the other person is damaged. Followers of Jesus need to see that God loves even that person who's causing us so many problems. We need to be praying that a good resolution to the problem may be found. Then we will not be disappointed with the answer. We need to be careful what we pray. In some countries, the farmer wants the rain, but the bride doesn't. The illustration is given that learning to pray is a bit like riding a bike. I well remember teaching my children to ride, running up and down the road, all over the park. When they started off, they very often have small wheels each side of the big wheel, with me holding on to the saddle at the back. Even then, there was a tendency to sort of lean one side and lean the other. At some point, a decision has to be made by the teacher. When shall I take the small wheels off, and when shall I let go of the saddle? Especially if you're near the River Avon. One of my sons put a message. I like to check out Facebook sometimes, see what my kids are up to. They're not kids these days, but getting on a bit. I like to see what they're getting up to, so I have a look on their Facebook page. And one time in the past, one of my sons put on there, "I just taught my little boy to ride his bike without stabilizers." Very satisfying. My response was, "That's it. You'll have to let him go now." I've come to understand that there are times, and for our growth, that God seems to withdraw from us. He'll take his hand off our saddle and he'll let us go. Those are the times when our faith in him really comes into play. Jesus said that in our lives we would have trouble. Being a Christian doesn't protect us from falling off the bike and hurting ourselves. I well remember those grazed knees from new-laid grit in the road outside my house when I was a child. Oh, the number of times I fell off that bike and ended up with grit sticking out of my kneecaps. We will have relationship problems. We will have money problems unless we're very fortunate. Our health will cause us difficulty and will let us down. We will lose a loved one. We will experience God's silence. But God's silence doesn't mean his absence. Our faith will be tested, yes, but then comes faithfulness. Living through unanswered prayer, but still faithful to God. And when we fail, please don't think that all is lost. Remember God's faithfulness towards you. Our expectation is this. And I know people are troubled by this. Anything you ask in my name. That's our expectation. Okay, Lord, do it now. Make my family's members Christians. Those I'm concerned about. Change my circumstances for me now, Lord. And when it doesn't happen, our faith can have a wobbly. We need to realize that the answer comes not necessarily as yes or no. And at that moment in time, but that sometimes he does immediately answer prayer in a way that we would want. Sometimes there is this period of silence. Sometimes there is no. It's difficult for someone we know who does not acknowledge God in their lives to suddenly become a Christian. Oh yes, we've some amazing examples in the scriptures of God breaking into people's lives and turning them around. And when we read about that or when we hear stories from fellow Christians, we can become desperate to see that happen for us. But many times God will answer our prayers step by step, gradually revealing himself to that person we're praying for. Maybe we need to be a part of the answer ourselves. Maybe we might never see that answer in prayer in our lifetime. But please don't think that your petition has been forgotten, because God is faithful. It's not easy to face disappointment and to keep on praying. But that's the call this morning. Philip Yancey, who many of you may have heard of, has written a really good book called Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference? He says this, unanswered prayer poses a serious threat to the faith of trusting children, to the husband who lost his wife in a plane crash. The testimony of a survivor does little to encourage faith. To the family who lost a child to meningitis, it brings no solace to hear of another child's recovery. Many books on prayer include a statement like this, God always answers prayers, but sometimes no is the answer. I read that statement, says Yancey, and then think of friends and relatives who received the negative answer. Why? Were their prayers somehow deficient? It is difficult for us to accept that God is in control and that only he can see the whole of the picture from start to finish. Why things happen to some and not to others has to do with the laws of nature and the living of life. He cannot suspend certain laws for us because others would be harmed as a result. The vast majority of us are safe because of them. It has nothing to do with deficiency in prayer. Jesus faces the cross. We hear his prayer, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you, yet not what I want, but what you want." He puts his future and the future of all mankind totally into the hands of God. "Lord, by the work of your Spirit in our lives, help us to do the same. Help us to put our lives into your hands and to accept that your ways are not our ways. Help us to realize that it is you who will help us to deal with our disappointments, and that as we trust in you, we will discover that your grace is sufficient in every circumstance." God bless you all here in your ministry in Evesham, in your sharing of the faith, and keep strong, stay close to God, and trust in him, for he is always faithful, totally reliable.